You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
1 o'clock hour here on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Text line open up, 913-586-7965. Before we get back into the college football playoff and what happened with Notre Dame, Bama and Miami getting in, two group of five schools in, and just
That's an early opinion on
how things are shaping up for a couple of the schools and their path. Remember, they changed it where now it's, you know, the seedings are, I think, a little more realistic than what we had last year. You know, people were upset last year when Boise State got the bye and everything like that. So I think they did correct it in the right way. But let's talk Chiefs, because as we look ahead, and I know there's four games left, I get it, and we will still later on in the week talk about the Chargers game.
We'll probably talk about the Chargers game tomorrow. They have to play tonight.
Sure, fine. We can. Yeah.
We'll talk about the Chargers game. I mean, as in the game the Chargers.
I guess so.
Honestly, only if they lose. What am I going to do? Come on here and be like they beat the Eagles and now the Chiefs' chance of the playoffs are even thinner?
So what I'm getting at is bigger picture for a second. Looking ahead to the offseason, I know that sucks to do, but I think it's just reality at this point. What's your confidence level, though, that things are going to end up bad enough that there are changes to come? And I am not suggesting, one, I don't think it would ever happen. Two, I don't think it should happen. I'm not talking about the head coach, okay? That's if this happens again next year, we can have that conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying some of you aren't ready for that. I don't think that has any chance of happening, and I'm not ready for that. So I'm talking about the rest of the staff. I'm talking about personnel, player side as well. How confident are you on that it's bad enough that there will be change? Because admittedly, when you go to three Super Bowls and you win two of them over the last 4 years now, heading if you include this year, why would you make a huge staff change? If I was Andy Reid, it'd be a hard, why would I move on from my defensive
After
coordinator or my special
row.
Teams yeah. coordinator or my OC that I've won rings with? All that is, I get it. But this year, you probably aren't making the playoffs. Everybody on this show doesn't believe they are, even if there's like an 18% chance. So is that bad enough? And I think there will be changes, Cody. I don't know if they'll be to the level that fans want. What I'm getting at is, like, I think they could move on from Dave Tobe, and I don't know how on earth you don't, other than being way too loyal. Like, to me, that's an easier one. You move on. Special teams have been horrific this year and not too great last year either.
Yeah.
Your OC. All right, we all know the setup here. Andy Reid's the one calling the plays and everything. If you're not moving on there inside that room, are you willing to add an additional voice? But it doesn't matter if you're not going to listen to that person. If you're not going to have that person push you, if it's just going to be another yes man type of setup, then that's worthless. It's very easy. I think the no-brainer stuff, there's some positional coaches they can move on from. I think they have to. Just
wide receiver, defensive line, any of the units that have been just bad all year. And that goes back to special teams coordinator. Here's the thing, Cole. covered this team the entire Andy Reid era, like in the early going, like every day in the facility, and now obviously on this show. One bad year has never convinced Andy to make wholesale changes for the same reason you just mentioned for the rest, which is I went to Super Bowl, 3 years in a row. I won two. I've been to 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls. Could you imagine, like, if anything you had done at that level of success for 6 straight years and then just saying, nope, tear it all up, rip it all apart, start from scratch? No, but this is how this works. If you have Patrick Mahomes on your roster, it invites major questions. And you and I are, yeah, I'm not even, honestly, I won't even entertain the, like, should they move on from any reconversation? I think it's idiotic. I think it's insane. It would take a lot more than 1-9-8 or 8-9 year or whatever this thing finishes up.
Correct.
To talk me into that. But can you let go of Tobe like you did Sutton? Can you let go of Blameyer or whatever, the passing game coordinator, and do that? Can you make it as high up as changing coordinators and it's not Nagy anymore and it's somebody else? Yes. You can go about that high. Do I think that if Matt Nagy doesn't get a head coaching job, he will not be the offensive coordinator next year? Absolutely not. I think it'll be the offensive coordinator for this team next year. I don't think it'll ever get that high. That's as high as an argument as you can give me.
Well, and the thing is, other than Andy Reid, the only person that can tell Andy what to do in the organization, there's one name. And it's Clark. The guy at the very, very top, and it's Clark Hunt. No, nobody else is going to convince Andy Reid to make any other type of change.
Nope.
He's in charge. He's number two in the organization. He just is. I understand they have a general manager, but that's just not the setup.
But they need a fresh voice from on the offensive side of the ball in particular. And like the fourth down stuff is kind of what we were talking about. They need somebody who I think is outside of the circle of trust so that maybe somebody can stand and be like, I think that's kind of stupid. And whoa.
Well,
and it's not their fault. Like people get groupthink. They're all sitting in the same room together all the time. And like, you just can't break away from it. They need an outside voice.
Yeah. And I think not that you want tension necessarily, but
sometimes
you also like, it's not always the best thing for your OC or quarterback coach to just be completely best friends with the quarterback and never push back on anything either is saying. Like, I don't think that's a good atmosphere to operate. You know, again, you want to keep Mahomes happy, but also do you need, as you said, somebody that's willing to tell people what they don't want to hear? And are you willing to listen to it? That's the most important part, I think.
Now, in easier to listen well. When your season goes really poorly and you got to change.
Right. And that's
up.
What that would be like. Maybe that's what is different. Typically, we have not seen them willing to do that. But maybe this, knowing you have a quarterback that you have and if you're Andy Reid, you know that no matter what success you have, you're not coaching for another 10 years. So, like, you know, there's only still, you know, a couple of years left. Say, well, this is not even Mike Florio. So I'm like, in all reality, like, he's not coaching for another decade. I think we all understand that. So whether it's 2 years or 6 years, I don't know. Yeah, I would say 5 or less is probably where I would go. So don't you want to capitalize on that the most you can? And status quo is not going to get you there.
No.
And you've had he's a Hall of Famer. Nobody's taken that away from him. He's put the Chiefs in the conversation to be some of the greatest dynasties in sports history. None of that changes, but we can still talk about the future and how you make sure that you are at the top of your game still. And if you individually aren't, because for whatever reason, maybe there's certain things that you don't do well that you did well years ago or whatever it may be, well, then bring in people to help you do that.
Like, sometimes you just, and this is, I think it's a reality of sports and life and job and everything else. And Andy should know this by now. He's been coaching for a very long time. Sometimes you just got to change things up. Like, it just is the reality of it. Andy Reid, if he had stayed in Philly the entire time, maybe that never gets back on track and things never stabilize. He came to Kansas City. He's won 3 Super Bowls. He didn't have any until then. It's not that he wasn't having success in Philly. He was. But sometimes you got to change things up in order to maximize the total amount. Look, Bob Sutton, and I've pointed this out, and people never believe it now because it's too far to remember. Bob Sutton had more top 5 defenses in his time as the defensive coordinator in Kansas City than Spags has. Bob Sutton at times for the Chiefs had a very good defense for the Chiefs, but it wasn't working anymore. And the message had run dry, or the scheme had run dry, or something had changed. And you had to make an adjustment at some point, but it took 2 massive failures in a row. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, having, I don't remember who, Justin Houston cover Antonio Brown 40, 50 yards down the field in order to break it. You know, like, it took a couple of years.
Yeah, you were using Spags just to compare the Sutton thing. He's like one of the only staff members I would be like, no, I still don't want them to make a change.
No, I want Spags to be the same. I meant that in relation to like a guy they let go before.
But yeah,
player wise, I mean, no matter what, they're going to be forced to have player personnel changes. I mean, they only have 35, 36 guys under contract. We know the roster continues to get older. Travis Kelce, likely, we don't know for sure, likely is retiring, but we'll see. You got Mahomes needs a new contract in the offseason. Trent McDuffie needs one. You and I have already talked openly on this show that they have to seriously consider trading Trent McDuffie, as tough as that is. And that would be a tough move. But you know what? You know what organization did make tough moves, even trading away good players at times? And the Chiefs did with Tyreek Hill. The Patriots did that to sustain their dynasty, to refresh it. They went a decade, as we all know, in between their rings. Hopefully the Chiefs don't have to wait that long, but that's also a possibility. And so you want to make sure you build this thing back up again, and it could take some time, but it's time to pay the price, unfortunately, of what you did to sustain the dynasty for that period of time that you did, which was the right decision. You went to 3 Super Bowls in a row. You won two of them. So nobody like that. That is still, I have no issue with how they operated then, but now you're going to pay the price, pay the piper. Like, here we are. And this offseason,
it took a while for the check to come due.
It's due, though. This offseason, it's very much due. Roster turnover quite a bit. It's why the draft picks by trading somebody like McDuffie might be necessary. Additional picks. Fortunately, it looks like if they finish where we think they are now, they're going to have maybe a top 15 or so, 17 or so pick in the draft, which will be a spot that they have not been in during the Patrick Mahomes era. So there's some opportunity there. Yeah, third place schedule might be in store next year. It's not like this thing is completely shot, but they're going to have to build it up differently again. I won't say from the ground floor. You still have Mahomes, and again, your head coach is not going anywhere, but the roster is going to look quite a bit different. It just has to. You only have 36 guys under contract next year.
And it should. Like, it's time for the roster turnover, and then, you know, as we get closer to the draft, we'll get to have, or even later this week, we can start looking at some of this stuff, but we can start looking about, and this is not, again, this is the same as Andy Reid. I'm not trying to pretend to entertain a conversation that is Brett Veach the right person for the job? But we can go over his last 3 years of draft and post-Trent McDuffie draft. He is, I wouldn't exactly say he's on a heater the last 3 years. You start looking at the picks. 3 years ago, his best pick was Rashee Rice. He seems to be not as good as we thought. 2 years ago, his best pick was Xavier Worthy. He's on a downslide. And Simmons looks like he will be a good pick just as long as he's on the field. But then, do you want me to go through the rest of the names? Because it doesn't look good after that. And so there's some part of that we can look at later in the week, but sometimes it's just you need to change things up. Not just to change them up, but because it's time. New roster, new players, new personnel, and I think Patrick Mahomes is not enjoying playing in this offense anymore, as in, like, the totality of what it's become under Matt Nagy and Andy Reid and this collection of people they have right now. And so I think they need an outside voice to look for some ways to make things work for Patrick Mahomes that makes him happier to be in this offense and more pleasant about it. He made a face when Andy Reid called that fourth and goal shotgun run. He made a face like something stunk, like, ugh, and you're calling that? That's the face he made when they made the play call last night. That's crazy.
I don't know if everybody agrees on that. I know you and I like are in lockstep on this, but I don't know, and you guys can text in. I think there's some fans that disagree with this, but you also, like, Patrick Mahomes is in his 30s. We all know what he's accomplished already in his career, and hopefully he has many, many years left. You have to make sure you keep him happy as well if you want him finishing his career in Kansas City. And I will always, always, when I have a quarterback of the caliber of Patrick Mahomes, I will always side with the quarterback over the coach in terms of keeping somebody happy, major shifts. I'm not suggesting this is going on right now. This is just me talking. If Patrick Mahomes says, hey, I want this guy helping this offense, I'm talking from a play caller, from a offensive mind or whatever it may be, you do it. If that's what he needs to be happy and also have success, you do it.
Yeah, you find that person.
If it ever gets to a point where he doesn't have faith, and I'm not saying that's where we're at.
No.
If he ever gets to that point, you have to make him happy. You don't choose the coach.
Nope.
You choose the quarterback when he's this good.
Especially when he's 30 and you still got a decade plus of getting him on the field. So and pretending like, and again, I'm not so delusional to say this season's frustrating. Very frustrating. But also, like, I'm not like down on the whole franchise or anything. They went to 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls. I'm still all right. I'll sleep fine tonight, Gold, you know? Like, I'm not going to be restless wondering what happened. Is it a wasted year, Mahomes? Sure. Have they gotten more out of him than just about anybody gets out of any quarterback? Yep. So, like, I'm not going to, like, lose my mind, and yet still here we are. You had mentioned, though, earlier, the college football playoff is officially set. Two group of five schools, which I think people, this is why the Notre Dames or the BYUs of the world, here's my issue, and then we'll talk about the teams who got left out. There are enough aggravated parties. So, Alabama, Vanderbilt. I think BYU's got a real gripe, even though they've been the quietest in this. Their strength of schedule is very good. Their problem is their two losses came to the same team, and they got their ass kicked by that team both times. And unfortunately for you, like, if you're Alabama, you beat Georgia once and then got your ass kicked by Georgia. I think that this is barreling towards enough. The ACC feels like they got screwed. The Big 12 feels like they got screwed. And Independent feels like they got screwed. And if you got, and the SEC, let's say even Vanderbilt, saying they got screwed. If this goes down like this, guess what? That means they're going to want the automatic qualifier. Big 12 is going to want two. They're going to want two, and they're going to give up four to the Big 10 and the SEC to get it. I think it's a mistake, but Gold, I feel like it's just going that way. And then it'll be one group of five school guaranteed.
So you're saying they're going to win to 16?
Nobody else. Yeah.
Because that's the only way that is.
We are going to eventually get to 16. I also think, in an odd way, as exciting as it is if you're James Madison or Tulane this year, there's an argument to be made that two of them getting in this year is actually the worst thing that ever happened for the group of five long term. Because now, to what Cody is saying, now there's going to be even more of a push from the big boys to try to eliminate the group of five being part of the show.
Yeah, because they're getting left out for two groups of five.
So it stays at 12, yes.
Yeah, so like it's good right now for Tulane and James Madison. I'm just saying the result that we just got with the chaos of Notre Dame being left out, et cetera, and all that, this is bad news for the group of five long term is all I'm saying.
I do think that there is... I'm sure we can get into more of it, but I think actually what might be best, that it would still include the group of five. You would have to rework the entirety of how we view college football, though, from the FBS schedule standpoint. And that is, you go to a 24-team playoff like the FCS currently does.
Now we're way up there.
I know. But
in that case, I will say, you just shut up if you're team 25. You just shut up about it. You can't be one of the 24 best teams.
I understand, but I think what it does is... It all but eliminates the well, conference title game can hurt you, conference title game can't, do the games matter? I think the game, you can still have a conference title game and have a 24-team playoff. The thing that'll be interesting, though, is with these automatic qualifiers, do you get rid of championship games? Do you not? But I think with the 24-team playoff, and right now FCS does basically a 10-game schedule, eight conference games, two non-cons for everybody is what I would do. There's no nine or eight conference. Everybody does eight conference games. And for the Power Four teams, one of the games, all the games have to be against FBS opponents. You can't do FCS. And at least one of those has to be against another Power Four team. Then you go off the rankings. And if you're team 25, like in this hypothetical that Ross Dellinger put out, JMU and Tulane are still the only two group of five teams that make it because they're the only two that would be inside of the top 25.
Yeah.
But you look at the others who would be included, and yeah, sure, there's somebody that's out. But if you're not in the top 25, then you absolutely have no gripe at all whatsoever. I think it's a way to include everybody where, yeah, sure, there's still a gripe, but it's not like if you're looking at the top 25 in general, you're looking at, are you going to debate on who's receiving votes or anything like that? I think that's where
someone's
it gets
always
to be difficult.
Someone will always bitch. Like somebody's always going to complain. I get the thought process on the FCS version of the playoff. So I get it. I personally 24 teams to me, 25 teams is way too many. But I get your format. What I would do is get rid of the conference title games, and we just have, like, this past weekend would have been a play-in tournament. So
that's what we're going towards.
Notre Dame would have played Miami. Well, I don't know. They would, not Miami again, but you get what I'm saying. Like, Vanderbilt would have played Notre Dame or something or whatever, right? Like, and the winner of that would have been in.
Miami
and
would have played Texas.
Like, that's what I want. That, to me, would be awesome as
Alabama
would have
played
BYU. And
viewer. Yeah, yep. I think, and that's the thing. If they go to 16, though, Cody, and you're right, if you know, like, let's be honest. If you know that, okay, Texas Tech and BYU are in because they're the top two in the conference, and the SEC has Alabama and Georgia and they're in, then what you could do is for the final two spots of the SEC, you have the 3 and the 6 play and then the 4 and the 5 play.
Yeah, and that, their own conference play-in, essentially.
Yeah, to Gold's point, conference title weekend becomes play-in weekend, where it's more games over the course of the entire day, and there's no... well, if you lose, you still could be in. It is, you have to win this game and you're in. Otherwise, you're out. Like, I think that's where we, and maybe there's a couple of at-large spots, I suppose, that if you're the 3 seed and you lost to the 6, then maybe you can get included in there. But the results on the field matter more in that scenario than just hoping and praying that you're a team that doesn't even play in conference title weekend and you jump a team that lost in their conference title and that whole thing.
At least for all the complaining I do about the system, and I still don't understand like why Ole Miss wasn't doctored and these other things, I will say my biggest complaint about college sports is they constantly try to not make wins matter, but at least in this case, when they put Miami in, Miami and Notre Dame played each other. Miami won. Miami got in.
They did the right thing.
If that game went the other way around, Notre Dame's in, Miami's not. And that seems fair to me.
Yeah, I think they did the right thing. Where this goes back, though, to something that, like, not the AP stuff, but we've talked a lot about the rankings in general and the ranking shows and all that. And I know they're under contract to do them. These ranking shows, for years we've been talking about this show, are completely meaningless. And that is cemented to me forever. That is, frankly, the correct take. What I mean by that is, we're right that they got Miami in, but a week ago Miami was behind Notre Dame. That's ridiculous. Yeah. It also makes the committee look stupid in this whole thing too. That the ranking shows should not exist. They are truly just there for television and entertainment, which is fine. But like, this is where it creates its own problems, because why was Miami not just already ahead of Notre Dame? Even though I agree the indecision is correct.
Yeah, that was
the problem. And so these ranking shows, this is why next year when we're talking in November 20th or whatever, when the rank, or November 10th, I don't care what the rankings are. It doesn't matter. We're all trying to figure out, like, what is this team ahead of? That doesn't matter. The committee at the end is going to, you know, have some bias involved, but I actually think they made the correct decision. But why was the ranking not that last week with Miami?
And it was that way because Miami had dropped, in fairness to SMU and Louisville, like they fell back a little bit. But as soon as they started getting up into the same bracket as Notre Dame was, yeah, the fact that it took them, and they both didn't play this weekend, then they switched it. It's like it's almost like they got bullied into making the correct decision in a way, I guess.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. I want to talk about Travis Kelce and what it was like in the locker room last night. Plus, of course, the final 4 games. Is that what it's really going to be for Travis Kelce? And something happened at our company party.
You're jamming your favorite song. And while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Be on Friday night.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on What's Trending, obviously, the Chiefs dropped their second one in a row. They're now 6-7. Yes, apologies in advance. 6-7.
I'm surprised it took you this long to say this.
I've had enough of this in my life. I don't need
loss.
It in my work life as well.
Yes, there are still scenarios for them to make the playoffs, but the season, as far as we're concerned, is dead, and I got that sense even in the locker room last night, guys. I think it is over for Kansas City. They have to win out. They need help. What have I seen to believe they're going to win 4 in a row?
ESPN's analytics say they got a 54% chance of making the playoffs if they go 4-0.
Yeah, that's such a misleading thing.
Oh, I know. That's why I
No, they have a, they have an 18% chance to get in.
Yeah, exactly. Next up on What's Trending, Kansas did beat Missouri over the weekend, so Alex's weekend wasn't totally ruined. 80-60, Darren Peterson played very well in the Sunday afternoon game.
Yeah.
And then Kansas State will take on Mississippi Valley State. They are 1-8. Then K-State, after their 5-game losing streak, should probably get back on the winning ways tonight.
They are a 30-something point favorite. Mississippi Valley State's only win this year.
UMKC?
No.
Against,
I'm not even kidding, guys. Look it up. Against a women's basketball team.
Wait, what? Delta Devils, I believe.
Mississippi Valley State Delta Devils or whatever it is, yeah. They have win against a women's basketball team.
All right.
The men's basketball team has a win against the women's basketball team.
I will say, I don't know if you've been following the ruse. It's bad. It's real.
Is it really?
Bad.
They're awful.
They're awful.
What's their record?
Awful. 1 in a million.
What?
They're terrible.
What happened?
Dude. They're terrible.
Cody stopped supporting through NIL. It's his fault.
They're getting worked over every game by Lindenwood. Man, it's bad. It's bad.
Oh, that's terrible.
Bad.
Cody, I mean,
they're dead. They're 1-8.
They're as bad as Mississippi Valley State.
I'm not kidding. They're only
wins against a men's basketball team at least. So
Mississippi Valley State's only win.
That's incredible.
Was 97-61 against MUW, and that is not a men's basketball team.
That's incredible. That's an incredible stat.
UMKC's only win is over Evangel, and they won won by 6 points.
All right, time for the next head coach. Cody, who can I get instead of Marvin Menzies, I guess?
The Mississippi University for Women is the school they beat.
Oh, man.
Now, I have a lot of questions as well.
I'll tell you what. I think K-State's going to get it done.
Evangel by the way, is NAIA.
Yeah, I know.
Now, look, points. The school.
Six.
Yeah.
They might not win another game.
Men are allowed. So, like, it's a women's university. Men are allowed to go to the women's university. So, there's a men's basketball team. But it's still the Mississippi, whatever I said, women's university. So, they played a men's team.
At a school for women.
All right.
Yes.
That's what's trending here in Cutting Gold, because I got to ask you guys a serious question for a second. We could have talked about the college football playoff for Chargers-Eagles tonight, or Daniel Jones is out for the season.
Uh-huh.
All of those things that we kind of knew were taking place. So, UMKC is awful, right? I just said. They have one win. It's against Evangel in the NAIA. They might not win another game this year.
If
UMKC will let me Doug Gottlieb this, and I can do this show and still coach him.
Stop.
You in?
Stop.
Will you guys let me double dip?
Stop.
And I'll be the coach of UMKC men's basketball?
Should I save this and then send it to their athletic department?
Yeah.
And
be Cody's like, going to get fired from his professor gig.
Why? So I can coach?
Yeah.
I'm trying to help the university. I want the basketball program to be good.
Professor, highly critical of men's basketball program. Suggests coach should be fired. Adjunct professor fired.
Says he should replace him.
Yeah, exactly.
I just said if they offered to let me. Because here's the problem. Marvin Menzies, who has had success at college coaching.
Last year was their year, and they didn't capitalize.
Has had success before, and I imagine will retain his position as the head coach of men's basketball. Let's say he didn't want to do it anymore. I got to say, I'll tell you this before, as someone who's seen a couple of UMKC coaches searches, not exactly a highly coveted job or an easy one to win at.
Yeah, the only thing, you know,
Doug Gottlieb got a gig. He straight
did.
Off.
He yeah, did play college he basketball. Played college basketball. Knows a little bit more than you do.
I'll tell you right now, we're probably playing that old. We're probably playing that like old press zone from Syracuse or something. We're just like, we're gonna be bullies.
Oh, you want to be weak? No man to man, not tough.
No.
Yeah.
Weak. Yes, correct. Yeah. Also, I mean, God, I can't. The problem is like, there's no underhanded, like, you can't cheat the way you used to be able to cheat anymore, you know? You can't, they made it hard. They made it harder to, like, pay people under the table and stuff.
Cody didn't know how to help out the NIL enough to get more talented players to the UKC.
It sounds like what I need to do is go through the roster again and read off the names of everybody, and then we decide which one you want to support.
Oh, but I'm not allowed to, remember? Once I took the professor job, I was not allowed to support via NIL. It's against the rules. You know, I'm just going to get, maybe I've got a basketball player in my semester next, maybe we can work on just some drills, just me and him.
Please. That would be great. Please.
Just me please. And one kid.
Oh my gosh. That'd be pretty epic.
Just see if we got a feel for it, you know? So you get a feel for it.
And then at the end of all of it, we'll see if he can jump over you and dunk.
So I agree with that text. Cody, what the hell do you know about collegiate basketball?
From the that's fair. From the 816, Cody wouldn't be a real coach, just like he's not a real teacher.
Mm.
Sounds like UMKC could use her own Darren Peterson. Yeah. Honestly, that'd be the greatest recruiting job of all time if UMKC got a top 10 recruit in the sport. His parents would have had to actively be members of UMKC, and it was his lifelong dream to play there in order for that to work. So I think that's going to be tough.
What player is like, all right, son, what do you want to be? A 10-year-old, I want to play for the UMKC Ruse basketball team.
Cheer for him. Look, I'm not even kidding. Right. I genuinely want UMKC to be good at basketball. It's important to me. I would like him to see.
It'd be great for the city.
Yeah, I'd like to see him in an NCAA tournament, and I would like them to get their dream, which is something they've been actively trying to do and probably will continue. Maybe the streetcar will help them in this. They have actively wanted an actual arena.
So we're not going to basketball again then. Is that what's happening here? Is that what you're saying?
Or it's the opposite.
We start.
Sometimes bad teams need a support, and we all show up for this 1-13 squad 4 weeks from now, and we give it our all to give them the momentum they need.
Center to capacity, is what you're saying?
Hey, you know what? We once drank champagne on this because Jordan Lyles got 5 wins. We can sure as hell show up to a UMKC basketball game and cheer them on.
Well, our January schedule might be a little more open. January schedule might be a little more open. Let's get back to the Chiefs. Travis Kelce last night. We all know he had the pass went off his hands, led to an interception, and there has been, and it wasn't the best throw, I will say, from Patrick Mahomes.
No.
There have been 3 or 4 circumstances in which when he's had a drop or a ball that goes off his fingertips this year, Cody, it's directly led to points. And statistically, you'll look and you'll say as a receiver, he's going to finish probably top 3 or 4 in yards for a tight end in his season. And given his age and all that, like that's a very impressive accomplishment. But it sure feels like this is the end for Travis. And in the locker room last night, we all get in there and he's still in uniform, just sitting in his chair, just looking straight ahead. Just, you know, who knows what's going through his mind in that moment. And then I thought what was even more telling, once media availability had wrapped up, and he didn't speak to the media, by the way. And there were some other guys that got out of the locker room before the media even got in there, like Rashee Rice. And Travis was getting ready to head down this hallway. It was like a hallway towards the showers or whatever. And it's one of those, could he turn the corner and just kind of like leaned up against the wall, like one of the, like, clearly just going through it. And I think the entire locker room recognized the reality of where they're at now. Yes, mathematically not eliminated, but like, I think they all deep down know that this was their opportunity last night and that this team, whether you want to say it publicly or not, just does not have it in 2025. And we've gone through all the reasons. And that's the thing. There's a list of about 10 different reasons what continues to happen for them in these games. Big moments, they are not able to be disciplined enough. Penalties, drops, bad throws, doinks off field goal posts. You go on and on. Poor coaching decisions, as we've already highlighted throughout the day on the fourth down decision. On and on and on we go. Third down, can't get off the field.
Travis Kelce's missed the playoffs once, for those who are asking. Unless you count maybe his rookie season, I guess. 2013, they didn't make the playoffs, so twice. Once in his actual NFL playing career where he was on the field. The question I guess I have is, does Travis want to go out like this? And I understand the normal issues, Golden. We talk about this all the time. You very, very, very rarely get to go out the way you want to go out, right? Like, most of the time you go out the way Aaron Rodgers is going on. He's playing good football, but like, you get kicked out by your team, then you go to the Jets, then you get kicked off of that team, and then you're a Steeler. And if he just loses in the wild card round, the last 5 years of Aaron Rodgers' career, 6 years of Aaron Rodgers' career, will just be bouncing around, hoping to make something happen. And more often than not, it goes down like that. He spent his entire career in one place. He statistically is doing some things very well for the Chiefs and still matters to them. And to go out on a team that's not even going to make the playoffs, I don't know if he's going to be able to stomach it. Maybe he will. Jason Kelce didn't go out on the highest of notes, right? His team lost the Super Bowl, and then he went back for another year, and they just lost in the divisional round or the wild card round. And then he left. It didn't go out great, better than this season, but it didn't go out great either. You know?
I would still have to guess that this is it. I mean, he's going to make it. He was asked about a couple weeks ago, I think, and he, of course, didn't rule it out at the time. But I think just the reaction from him and also the type of offseason he did put in this past year was kind of one last hurrah, let's go. And it's obviously going to end in this way, which is likely going to be not making it into the postseason. I just think we all know, you know, the off-the-field stuff that he has opportunities for as well, and then you couple with where this is at. And also, if you're him, as much as, like you said, Cody, you want to go out on a high note, with where the roster turnover likely is going to happen, who knows where they're at next year? Not to mention, this is the tough reality, too. We all know, like, he doesn't want to play for any other team, but what would the price have to be even for next year where you would want an aging tight end again back? That's the reality of the situation, too.
Yeah. You know, it is. I mean, it's a really difficult spot for him. And
is his contract up, correct?
Yes, but I think that they'd find a way to pay him for 1 year.
But I'm not paying him 16 or 18.
No, he'd have to take a discount. Yeah. It didn't have to be a significant discount. Or it's got to be for the first time. And this is the one thing where Brett Veach is probably going to have to take advantage of this, just based on where they are cap-wise anyway, unless they're doing a full roster teardown, is extend this thing out and pay Travis Kelce over the next 4 years. Add void years for the first time ever. Pay him $10 million and pay him $2.5 million.
I guess maybe I'm in the minority. I'm ready for just a fresh slate with the entire offense.
I know, but they do that anyway, and it's such a small amount of money they'd have to pay him over the time. I agree with you. If it was any more amount of money or for more than that, I guess I'd be worried about it. But, you know, like, outside of that, I guess I don't grow overly concerned. I do appreciate somebody on the text line suggesting that I only recruit Australian-based basketball players since they're the ruse. When I was at UMKC, the center, when I was covering UMKC with Ryan Witkowski, their center was Brad Reed.
International players are very popular now in college basketball.
He played. He was Australian.
I think Wisconsin's got like 4 or 5 of them now on their roster. They're very, very big in the international.
He was number 33. The only reason, I swear to God, I remember that, is, believe it or not, the songs that I do started in college, I guess, because I did a song about UMKC basketball men's and women's team, and number 33, I did it to Basketball by Curtis Blow, Drew.
Wait. This is something that hasn't been played?
I did it in college. Why would we have played it on the show?
I think you need a remaster.
And number 33, my man Brad Reed is the center. I
need you to do it. I need you to we need a remastered version.
I don't know that I remember all the lyrics.
Who did you
I
say
only remember
was
that
mine?
Line. And number 33, my man Brad Reed is the center on my starting team.
Who is it by, did you say?
Me? Oh, Curtis Blow. Basketball's by Curtis Blow.
Hang on.
You want to hear the song?
Well, I'm pulling it up. It's going to be a second.
It's a...
We need a remastered version.
I don't remember all the lyrics. I'd have to look back up the players from the men's and women's teams during those years. You know how long ago it would take me to remember that? Somebody said, anybody remember Baby Shaq playing at UMKC? I don't. I thought everybody knew this song. You know the song Basketball?
It's a song that Bow Wow remixed. I was listening to some of the lyrics. It's a song that Bow Wow remixed for Like Mike.
Yeah.
He redid it for...
Yeah, that's...
I'd have to hear more.
It's got to get further in than this
before
you do.
This is not ringing a bell yet.
Oh, hang on.
There's a song of me singing about UMKC from 12 years ago.
I like the pick and roll. I like the give and
maybe go. I've heard
and
this. I don't know. If so, I was.
If you watched Like Mike, then you definitely have.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
All right, now I got you. Okay. I just needed that part right there.
Yep. It's in there. I honestly, Drew.
I thought we were about to hear Cody's version. I was very confused.
Well, so, I assume I don't have that anymore.
I need you to remix it though to this UMKC team. You talked about them needing a little bit of a hype boost.
UMKC
team. Yeah.
And it was about both the men's and women's team, if I recall.
Correctly. Well, we'll have to look at the rosters for both of them then.
I only remember that. I'll have to ask Ryan. Maybe he still has it. I don't know if we still have that song somewhere. I'll find out for you guys.
We had our company party on Friday night. I think you guys probably saw the tweet that was sent out from the station. There was like odds on who's most likely to be kicked out. Wasn't Dusty the favorite?
I think he was.
I was middle of the pack. You were towards the bottom.
Yeah. Drew, somehow.
Bob and Rob were the bottom two, and then I was third to last.
Yeah.
Bob's a company man. That doesn't, you know. And Rob's the assistant PD, so they assume that he won't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that's what the thought process was.
He won't get any real trouble.
Uh-huh.
Dusty lived up to his odds there, I think, a little bit. So you guys weren't around this portion of the party. Party was at Arrowhead. It was a really cool venue and everything that we had set up. And I'm talking to the spouse of a coworker, and the spouse I went to high school with. So I know him, play fantasy football with him as well. And so I know who he is. So we're talking, and his spouse who works with us walked away. Then Dusty comes over to me and this guy that we're talking to. I introduced the two. I said, this is so-and-so talking. All of a sudden Dusty looks behind him and says, and I can't say the exact language that was used, but basically like, "Damn, who's that?" And it was
hit with a whole "damn" spelled D-A-Y-U-M. Like, I assume, "damn."
Yeah, exactly.
Damn, not D-A-M. Yeah, not a D-A-M-N. That's a different version.
And of course, then he's like, "Who's that?" Looks back at us, and I'm just dead silent because I know exactly who it is. So is the gentleman that we're talking to, and then Dusty goes, "Oh, that's his wife, isn't it?" And I walk away. So yes, Dusty absolutely nailed that situation there at the party there. It's a coworker of ours, and her husband was right there. Now, I think you just take it as a compliment and move on. But
I mean, look, the guy can take it as a compliment, but this is a lesson in time and place. If he makes that comment to just you, then you're like, "Hey, man, that's that guy's wife." And nobody's the wiser. We probably don't even discuss it on this show.
Mm-hmm.
He chose mixed company. He should have just avoided saying it altogether. But he didn't even know this guy or barely knew this guy.
Correct.
You can't be taking those kinds of risks.
You never met that person.
I think Dusty, and this is an honest moment we're going to have between each other right now. I hope you're listening to the show. I think the issue you run into is in a social setting. I think sometimes, like college basketball, to complete the analogy, Dusty gets in a heat check. Dusty's vibing in a room. Things are going well. He'll fire off one additional borderline one that you're like, risky. It might hit, but you might airball the three and you're still throwing up the three as you're turning around. You know, you got to be careful. You got to be careful on that heat check. And he was probably vibing in the room. He was good. Pops up with you and he's thought he could just hit the old damn. With somebody in the room at a workplace event? I think found out the hard way. Maybe that wasn't.
Should have known who this coworker was anyway. That's the other part. How did you not know who this person was?
This text is funny. Gold leaving Dusty in the trenches with grenades being thrown.
That is funny. Well, in fairness, if Dusty pulled the pin, put the grenade in his feet, and then Gold's just supposed to stand
Gold
there.
Gold is out of there.
It's not like someone tossed a grenade in and Alex avoided it. You know, he pulled the pin.
Yep.
Come on, Dusty.
Just, you know.
Out of all the people, though, I believe he's the one we would have all guessed. The odds on favorite to do something like this is, well, he'd also be the favorite for. Not just getting kicked out of the party.
Right.
Very funny. Just.
I wish you guys were there for the moment. I wish you guys were right there for it. It was better in person, obviously.
Someone says you got to respect the heat check, you know? I was like,
there's a
people are asking,
a varying degree.
I'm not going to say who it was. And no, it was nobody that's on air. If that's what you're wondering,
a company party though, like if you're at a bar, fine. A company, a company Christmas party. Yeah, you know. Someone said more like lusty.
Great party too, by the way. Great. It was actually a really nice party.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was. It was at the Chiefs Hall of Honor.
It was a good time.
It was good food. Great atmosphere. Can I Here's the question I have about Dusty's line of logic in here is, we're at a company Christmas party. So everyone at this party either has to actively work in our building.
Yep.
Or be the guest mm-hmm. of somebody working in this building. And then you got to assume in the guest department,
likely a
spouse, that's
got to
be
90-95%
spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend,
yep.
right?
Yep.
I mean, it's got to be like high. Like, I think Carrington mm-hmm. maybe brought a platonic friend, but that's got to be,
yeah.
but that's got to be, I guess, platonic. And that's got to be
oh, one. Now you're trying to cause some trouble. Now you're trying to cause some trouble.
I didn't actually know the circumstances.
Now you're trying to cause some trouble.
So, you know, like, The person you're commenting on is either somebody you work with or married to somebody else.
Yeah.
You got a really low probability of just, unless they're wearing a name tag from like Arrowhead Stadium or Aramark or something. I mean, you're running a 97% probability that that is someone you either work with or is married to somebody you work with or dates somebody you work with. That's tough. You just left? You just left?
Well, no, I walked a few feet away and then eventually came back because I was talking to the person I know.
Gold had to take a second.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Well, because it was very awkward.
Yeah.
It was very awkward. And I was laughing my ass off a little bit,
I bet it
too.
Was awkward.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wish that would have been hilarious. Yeah, that was the first thing that you told me, or the first thing that Gold, or the Dusty told me because you weren't there
yet. People are asking who Carrington was with. I'm not going to start this.
Hey, Carrington's... Kiss cam photo was featured.
It was.
Yep. Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Someone called him Lusty Likens on the text line. No. I'm dying.
Lusty Likens.
That's just wrong.
We'll be back at it tomorrow on the show. We'll obviously be talking plenty more Chiefs. We'll have Nate Taylor join us. We'll have our NFL insider Vinny Pasquantino join us. He was at the Chiefs game yesterday. Want to talk more about college football and some comments regards to Kurt Segnetti and comparing what he's done to Bill Snyder. Up next, though, CDOT and Rob on the Drive.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.